Amen. We thought for sure after the first time some of us were talking, they'll never invite us back. I'll show you the message when I messaged the family and said, can you be here Thursday night? Our choir is going to sing. They said, are you kidding? They want us back? Amen. But I appreciate the fellowship, and I know we act like it's a competition, and we're all pitting against each other, but Pastor said it right. We're going to heaven, amen, together. And we're going to do what we've done for this last week in a glorified body. He mentioned singing a tune. I don't really care how I sound, but my glorified body, Brother Mike's going to be about 6'2", 180 pounds, and I cannot wait. Can't wait for heaven, amen. But I'm going to ask you all to pray for me harder tonight than usual. I was telling Brother Ike before church, I had been studying two messages all day, and I thought for sure one of those two was going to be the one. And at 5:47, God said, preach this one, and my outline's about seven words, so I'm terrified more than usual tonight. But once you get the title of my message, it'll be even more ironic. I believe God does have a sense of humor, amen, and I'm glad for that. I'm thrilled to have been a part of this meeting. If it ended tonight, the Lord has done something in my life that I never dreamed He would do, never expected. And honestly, I could even say it like this. I never even really knew I wanted to do something like this. And I mean this when Pastor asked me to preach this meeting. My first thought, Brother Philip, was, well, he's never really heard me preach. And I'm uneducated to be doing this, and I'm not qualified, and I'm not capable of doing it, but I've found that God ain't interested in that stuff anyhow. Brother Dean says it all the time. God don't call the qualified, He qualifies the called. And I am glad for that. I want to give you a thought tonight I believe will be a help to us, maybe challenge us a little bit if we're willing to be responsive to the Word. I like what he said, it's the Word. I can't do nothing, but I'm glad I got a Bible that can do everything tonight. The Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing, even dividing us under the soul and spirit and the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. And I'm praying tonight that he would cut us up a little bit tonight, and maybe we'd do something. Exodus chapter number 3 is where we'll be tonight. And when you get there, let's stand. And this is one of my favorite books of the Bible, but one of my favorite passages of the Scripture to look at. As a matter of fact, any of y'all that remember the Sunday night we preached here, this was where we were, but I'm going to go a little bit different of a direction if the Lord will help tonight. Exodus chapter number 3. If you don't know where that's at, Genesis, Exodus. Amen. Even the someone like me that can't read knows how to get there to Exodus. Amen. Look at verse number 1. Your Bible says, now Moses kept the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he led the flock to the backside of the desert and came to the mountain of God, even to Horeb. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a flame of fire out of the midst of a bush. And he looked, and behold, the bush burned with fire, and the bush was not consumed. And Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush is not burnt. And when the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, God called unto him out of the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. Seven times in the Scripture, God calls someone's name twice like this. I don't know why, but there's seven of them. I imagine it's mighty important what he's about to do. And he said, don't miss this, Moses said, let me pray about it. Let me fast about it. Moses said, here am I. And he said, draw not nigh hither, put off thy shoes from off thy feet, for the place whereon thou standest is holy ground. Moreover, he said, I am the God of thy father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look upon God. And the Lord said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people, which are in Egypt, and have heard their cry by reason of their taskmasters, for I know their sorrows. And he says, I am come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians and bring them up out of the land, that land, unto a good land and a large, a land flowing with milk and honey, unto the place of the Canaanites and the Hittites and the Amorites and the Perizzites and the Hivites and the Jebusites. Now, therefore, behold, the cry of the children of Israel is come unto me, and I've also seen the oppression wherewith the Egyptians oppressed them. Come now, therefore, I will send thee unto Pharaoh, that thou mayest bring forth my people out of the children of Israel out of Egypt. And Moses said unto God, who am I that I should go unto Pharaoh, that I should bring forth the children of Israel out of Egypt? And he said, certainly I will be with thee, and this shall be a token unto thee. I have sent thee that when thou hast brought forth the people out of Egypt, ye shall serve God on this mountain. Help me pray. Father, we love you. God, we thank you for tonight. God, we thank you for the sweet spirit we've already felt tonight. And Father, as we try to preach and dive into your word, God, I pray you'd give me clarity of mind. God, help me to get my thoughts in order. God, I know I'm sure this is what you'd have for us tonight, but God, if you don't do it and if you don't help, it's all for naught, God. I'm incapable and we are incapable of doing anything without you, Father. God, I pray you'd help us tonight, God. Lord, I pray that you'd do something tonight, God, that would change somebody's life, God. I pray that maybe a decision would be made tonight that would not just impact tonight or maybe this meeting, but God, eternity, God. We'll be careful to praise you for that, God. I pray you convict those backslidden tonight. God, I pray you convert those that are lost, God. I pray that if there would be someone tonight that does not know Jesus as their Savior, it would be tonight that they realize, God, that you did die for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that you were buried and risen again the third day according to the Scriptures, and that you conquered death, hell, and the grave for us, and that all they got to do is believe on the name of Jesus. God, we'll be careful to give you all the praise, honor, and glory for it. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated tonight. I want to give you a thought on this right here tonight, getting out of our comfort zone. I want to encourage you and I want to challenge you. We've been now in this meeting going on 9 days, and I want to encourage you, if you have gotten comfortable in this meeting, you're already headed in the wrong direction. I'm convinced tonight that one of the biggest dangers and one of the biggest issues that the church is facing today is a disease called comfortability. The average church member, if you're anything like me, it is very easy to fall into a routine. It is very easy to fall into a rut, if you will. You can ask my wife. I am a creature of habit, and if you throw me off my routine, Brother Philip, I am messed up for the rest of the day because my routine has been messed with. And you say, I am not that way. Yeah, let somebody park in your parking spot out there and see if it don't mess you up. You walk into the church and see me and Brother Charlie were talking about this the other day. He said he went to a church one time and he sat down in a seat and he said a woman came up to him and he said, oh, she wants to shake my hand. She said, you're sitting in my seat, get out. He got up, he moved to the other side and sat down. And what you know it, another woman walked up to him and said, sir, you're in my seat. And he said, by the time it was all said and done, he was sitting out in the parking lot because he was scared to death that he was going to take somebody's seat. You think, oh, I don't ever get into a routine. Yeah, well, let's sing all 5 verses of a song in a congregation and somebody's going to be getting nervous. Brother Jason ain't here tonight, so I'll throw him under the bus. He's got a verse counter every single time we sing congregationals. Brother Dean knows we cannot go more than 8 verses when we're singing as a combined choir. Amen. But we don't want to get out of our comfort zone. We get habits. And if you're going to say going to church is a habit, it's better than some of the alternatives. Amen. But what happens is, we talked about this a little bit the other night, but what will happen is we'll come to church, we'll shake the same hands, we'll sit in the same seat, we'll sing the same songs, we'll preach for 30 minutes, we'll give the invitation, we'll go to Shawnette's, we'll go home, take a nap, come back, and we do the same thing day in, day out, and we will never, ever, ever step just a few inches or just a few feet outside of our comfort zone. You see, by way of introduction, I want to show you what happens if we'll remain comfortable. I want to show you what made me think about this. Look at verse number 5. Moses here, I believe he is what you would call living the American dream. Moses says he kept, verse 1 says he kept the flock of his father-in-law, Jethro. That means he married into money. He married a woman whose daddy owned his own business and made a good living, amen. The Bible tells us he had a family, he had children, had a good job. Says he kept the flock of his father-in-law, and he did what he was normally doing. He's walking by, and don't miss this, he sees this bush that is on fire, and the Bible makes it very clear that what stopped him was not simply a bush was on fire. What stopped him was he'd seen many bushes on fire, but he'd never seen one on fire that was not being destroyed. I mean, this man's living the American dream. He's got a great job. He's got some money. He's got a good family. He's probably got him a dog and a white picket fence and a beautiful house. And I've read this chapter over and over and over again, and you find nothing about a mother-in-law in here. He is absolutely living the best possible life. But here in chapter number 5, or verse number 5, God calls out to him, and he says, Moses, Moses. Moses responds, here am I. And he begins to step towards this bush, and God says, wait a minute, take your shoes off if you're going to get near me. I do not like walking around without shoes on. I've got sensitive feet. It's uncomfortable. I barely walk around the house without shoes on, let alone outside. And God says this, basically this. He says, if you're going to get close to me, Moses, you got to get out of your comfort zone. If you're going to get close to the God of heaven tonight, the Bible calls it an angel of the Lord. If you don't know who that is, that's a pre-incarnate Jesus Christ. He's left heaven and come down to this earth, and he is meeting with this man named Moses. He is entering into a communion with this man, and he begins, and Joshua deals with the same thing over in the book of Joshua. He sees that angel of the Lord, and he begins to get close. He says, listen to me very carefully. If you want to get near me, you're not going to be comfortable doing so. Let me give you a couple thoughts by way of introduction on what happens if we decide to remain in our comfort zone. Number one, we'll never be fully surrendered. We'll never be fully surrendered as a people if we stay within our comfort zone. You see, when we surrender, I'm reminded of a man by the name of Ornan over in the book of 1 Chronicles, chapter number 21. David had sinned and messed up, and God said, you want to fix this? You go down to Ornan, the Jebusite, and you buy that threshing floor, and you build me an altar, and you sacrifice there to me. And this is what he says, Dr. Ray. He says these words. He says, I give it all. He said, I'll give it to you. You understand tonight, we will never be able to give everything to God. We will never be able to fully surrender if we are unwilling to get out of our comfort zone. See, it's a conditional thing. It's a conditional thing. We can't do it our way and God's way tonight. God does not accept strange fire. Not only is it a conditional thing, it's a costly thing. Getting out of our comfort zone might cost us a little bit. It cost Ornan everything. That was his living. That was his home. That was his farm. It takes confidence. When God, imagine what was going through Moses' mind. He had his job. He knew here in a little bit, 5 o'clock, he was going to clock out. He was going to go home. He was going to walk in. There was going to be his wife. There was going to be his children. He was going to eat supper. He was going to sit back and watch Jeopardy and go to bed at a good time, get up and go back to work the next day. But instead, God says, no, what I need you to do is I need you to go down into Egypt. I need you to walk up to the most powerful man on the face of the planet, a perfect type of the devil in the Old Testament. And he said, I want you to look him in his God-given eyeballs and say, you're going to let my people go. You're going to let God's people go. We're going out into the wilderness and we're going to worship God. I guarantee you Moses was not comfortable with that. It takes confidence when God says go. I'm reminded of Abram and Sarai when God said, I want you to leave Ur, pack up the camels and load up the trailer and head on down the road. And Moses said, where are we going? He said, that way. If God did that to every single one of us, you know where it would be, right where we're at. It takes commitment. See, if we never get out of our comfort zone, we'll never be fully surrendered. Number two, the church will suffer. The church will suffer tonight. Comfortability leads to complacency. We've discussed this in depth this week. I don't know why that word keeps getting brought up in a Baptist church, but complacency is a killer tonight. It will lead us to destruction. It's the equivalent of falling asleep at the wheel. And then that complacency, it will lead to cold hearts. We'll begin getting cold on the things of God. Do you remember back when we would sing a song like, "Thank God I'm free," and those tears would flow down your eyes because you knew there was a time where you were bound up in sin and you were dead in your trespasses in sin and you were an alien and a stranger to the covenants of Israel and the things of God? Do you remember when you were headed to hell, but then God came by your way and pulled you up out of the mire and set your feet on a rock, and something as simple as "Thank God I'm free, free, free" would just make tears flow down your eyes? But you've become complacent and you became comfortable, and now you become cold to the things of God. And that cold heart will lead to carnality. The carnal mind is enmity against God, Paul said. We're just going to keep digging tonight, if that's all right. I've only been pastoring for 5 years. I'm not a professional. But I found carnal Christians are complaining Christians. "Well, we never did it that way." You know what that means? "Well, I've never been out of my comfort zone." Yeah. "Well, never heard that song before." "Well, we've never had blue carpet before." "Well, we've never done a weenie roast." You understand it was complaining that messed the nation of Israel up in the wilderness tonight. They asked this question: can God furnish a table in the wilderness? And for 40 years, he messed them up. Complaining will lead to criticism. Then your pastor's not good enough. Then your song leader's not good enough. Then your piano player's not good enough. And the only one good enough's to do it, but you won't do anything. Talking about the church will suffer from comfortability. You'll never be fully surrendered. Listen to me very carefully. Number three, God won't be satisfied. God will never be satisfied with a church that remains in their comfort zone tonight. Listen, he desires for us to be holy. He desires for us to be consecrated. He desires for us to be surrendered tonight. He desires for us to give him everything tonight. Maybe there's somebody in here tonight God has called to preach. Maybe there's somebody in here that God has imprinted on your heart to be a missionary. Maybe there's somebody in here tonight that God wants to use to maybe sing or play. Or maybe there's somebody in here that God's given a talent to teach. Or maybe somebody in here God's given the ability to be an encourager tonight, but you simply won't do it because it's uncomfortable. God desires it, but not only that, God deserves it. God deserves for you and I to be a little uncomfortable every once in a while. I think about how uncomfortable it must have been for him to leave heaven and come down to this earth, be robed in flesh and born in this sin-ridden world. He wasn't born in a hospital tonight. I know we every time Christmas, this time of year, we look at that beautiful little manger and we think about them three wise men giving him his gifts, and we sing the songs and we think about it. He was born in a nasty, stinking barn where there was animals and feces and hair and all that stuff all around, only to be raised up by a good godly mama and daddy and to be hated by everybody around him. And then one day he would enter into the ministry where the Pharisees and the scribes and the Sadducees would mock him and scoff at him. The one day they'd lay hands on him and punch him and spit on him and kick him and beat him, the way he'd be whipped and tortured and scourged on a whipping post, only be nailed on a cross. I'm glad he wasn't worried about being comfortable tonight. I'm glad he was willing to get out of that comfort zone for you and for me tonight. I'm glad he was willing to go all the way to Calvary tonight. How in the world can we sit and think about how uncomfortable it must have been? Think about in that garden as he knelt down and prayed, and it was sweat drops or great drops of blood falling from his body, and he sat there saying, "Lord, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done." He said, "I'll be uncomfortable if it brings you glory, God." Amen. He desires it. He deserves it. It's our duty tonight. Paul said, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. It's the least we could do. It's our duty. I can't imagine how comfortable Paul was, Miss Maggie, in a 8x8 Roman prison cell with a rat chewing on his toe, probably stripped naked and beaten and tortured and abused and starving. And he's sitting there writing a little church over the hill, and he's saying, therewith I've learned to be content. I've learned to abound and to abase. I've learned that through Christ I can do all things which strengtheneth me. I'm sure it was very comfortable sitting in that prison cell tonight. I'm sure it was comfortable when Peter had it all made, drinking lemonade in the shade. Amen. And he was sitting there on that boat, and he pulled in that haul of fish, and Jesus said, leave all that behind, follow me, and I'll make you to be a fisher of men. He would say, leave all that money behind, leave all that success behind, follow me tonight. You see, it's our duty. You see, if we remain comfortable, we'll never be fully surrendered. The church will suffer, and God will never be satisfied. But I want to encourage you tonight and give you a few benefits on what will happen if you and I tonight decide to get out of our comfort zone. I want to show you out of this text tonight. After Moses takes off his shoes, he finds five things that can only be found outside of his comfort zone. I want to show you these five things and we'll go home. Number one, he found a rewarding relationship. Look at verse number 5. He says, draw not nigh hither. God says, you want to be in my presence. You want to walk with me and talk with me, Moses. You're not going to do it comfortably. He says, Moses, you want to spend some time, some intimate time with the God of heaven. You want to have a unique encounter and a unique experience and a unique relationship with me. It's not going to happen going through the motions. It's not going to happen just playing church. It's not going to happen just doing the same old thing. Moses, if you want to get close to me, the Bible says, draw nigh to God and he'll draw nigh to you. It'll never happen if we remain in our comfort zone. He says, you want to draw nigh to me, get out of your comfort zone. You find a rewarding relationship. Had Moses never made this one decision to take this step towards God, he'd have been the same old Moses. I believe he'd have been saved. I believe he'd have went on to heaven. But he'd have never lived the life that he lived. I want to show you just how unique of a relationship Moses had with God. You see right here, look at what this says in verse number 6. It says, and Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look upon God. This is the beginning of this rewarding relationship tonight. But I'm here to tell you what I find so interesting about this. Moses is talking to God, and he is scared to death. He is literally hunched down, standing like this, because he is afraid to look at what he's looking at. But you know what happens about 40 years after this? Moses comes to a point in that relationship where he looks at God and he says, God, show me your glory. And God says, I can't. It'll kill you, Moses. And he says, I don't care. I want to see it. I want that relationship. And God hides him in that cleft of the rock, and he passes by and he shows him the hinder parts. And your Bible says this, he was so changed that scared the nation of Israel to death. He had to wear a veil the rest of his life. You see, it was a rewarding relationship. You know, we quote this all the time, thief cometh not but for to steal, kill, and destroy, but I have come that they might have life and have it more abundantly. I'm convinced there's a lot of Christians living life that ain't never lived that abundant life. There's a lot of saved folks in here tonight, but they've never lived that abundant life. Listen to me very carefully. For some of you in here tonight, for some of us in here tonight, the last time you got out of your comfort zone was the day you got saved. You ain't done it since. Maybe that was 10 years ago. Maybe that was 15 years ago. Might have been 50 years ago. Last time you got out of that comfort zone was when that preacher said, if you need to be saved, why don't you come? You come and you called upon the Lord, and he's asked you time and time and time again, why won't you get close to me? Why won't you live for me? Why won't you serve me? And you just keep saying, God, I'm too comfortable to do it. Yeah. You see, there's a rewarding relationship. Let me ask this question. Do you remember that fire inside of you right after you got saved? Man, somebody just say amen, and you just had to say it because they said it. Yeah. Simple song like Jesus Loves Me, This I Know. Get you tore up from the floor up. Where's the tears gone? We talked about that the other night, but where are they gone, church? We talked about that old man. He got right and got saved. He started driving a Ford truck the other night. Look, and his wife looked at him and she said, remember when we used to sit close together? Remember that story? And he said, I'm not the one that moved, you did. Why is it now we're 8-9 days into this meeting, you still haven't scooted up close to God? Last night, it was a great night. Many, many folks on the altar, but I'm still sitting here looking at faces that are in their comfort zone and they're just refusing to get out of it. Why? I'm not trying to be mean. I'm just trying to dig a little bit tonight. God's not the problem tonight.
Right.
It's rewarding. It's a rewarding relationship. I want to show you something. Look at verse number 5 with me. And he said, draw not thy hither. You weren't going to get close to him. Put thy shoes from off thy feet from a place where thou standest. It's holy ground. I find this very interesting tonight. If you take notes, write this down. That's the first mention of the word holy in your King James Bible tonight. I find it so very interesting. The first thing, Brother Rob, that he called holy was the first thing he ever cursed. You know what I find so rewarding about that? It shows when God shows up, it don't matter what the circumstances look like. It don't matter what the situation looks like. It don't matter where you are, how dark it is, or how bad it is. When God shows up, things change tonight. You see, if you'll step out of your comfort zone, you'll find a rewarding relationship. Number two, if you step out of your comfort zone, you'll find a little refreshing. Look at verse number 6. Moreover, he said, I am the God of thy father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. Moses hid his face for he was afraid to look upon God. I can only imagine how awesome of a moment it would have been to be standing there and for the God of heaven to call out from that bush and say, Moses, I am the God of your fathers. You see, Moses was raised up in Egypt, but he was raised by a godly mama. You better believe that every single day she was raising that baby boy of hers, she said, let me tell you what God did when Pharaoh was coming through and killing all the firstborn. We put you in a little ark in the bushes there. There's crocodiles in that Nile, and there was floods, and there was all this that could have got you. But you better believe, honey, God protected you, and God preserved you. I know we're in Egypt, but we ain't of this world. We're just in it tonight. And she said, I want you to know that there is a God up in heaven, and that same God made our great-great-great-granddaddy by the name of Abraham, made him a promise that we were going to have a land one day. You see, when you step out of that comfort zone, you'll find a little refreshing. Keep on reading down verse number 7. And the Lord said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people. Here's you another verse. That's the first time in the scriptures God refers to Israel as his people. Now you understand, They've been in Egypt for 400 years tonight. They've been down there in bondage and in slavery and suffering. I can only imagine how many times they'd be sitting around the table as they're going to bed and getting ready for bed, and mama and daddy'd be reading the Bible to them, reading the scriptures to them, what little bit they had at the time. Praise God for a complete canon of scripture tonight. But they'd be sitting there saying, you know what God told Abraham? We're going to have our own land one day. We're going to go to a land that floweth milk and honey. When? When, mama? When, Daddy? When, Grandpa? When are we going to go? I don't know, but one day God said he was going to do it. And I always love this. This is what, I'm going to give you the Preston version. I love when Joseph died. This is what he said, amen. Joseph said, don't bury me too deep, because one day, honey, we're coming up out of here, and you're going to bury my bones in that promised land. And it's awfully refreshing tonight to know that no matter how bad it gets, God's still on the throne tonight. No matter how dark it is, God's still on the throne tonight. But the issue is so many of us are going to miss it because we refuse to get out of our comfort zone.
Right.
My people, aren't you glad tonight that he is a God that's interested in his people tonight?
Yes, sir.
It's rewarding, it's refreshing. It's very refreshing to find that presence and that power outside of that comfort zone. You'll never find it in it. You'll see it, but you'll never experience it. And I'm concerned that's what's happening with a lot of people this week. They are watching other people have revival, and they think they're experiencing it themselves. But what's really taking place is they're just seeing somebody else be revived. What good is it if Pastor Kim has revival if Preston doesn't have it? What good is it if Brother Christian has revival if Brother Charlie doesn't? We talked about this last night. That old boy in Luke chapter number 15 was unwilling to participate. When are you going to decide to get in this thing tonight? Get involved and get close to God tonight. That first step is tough, no doubt about it. Sometimes that second step is even tougher than that. Man, when you determine to get a hold of God, it's awfully refreshing. Moses, seeing that glory hiding in the cleft of the rock, I can only imagine what that did for his soul tonight. I believe wholeheartedly that that's how, when I preached here that Sunday night, if y'all recall, we preached on the obedience of Moses, and we talked about how God told Moses he could not enter into the promised land, and that was roughly 4 to 5 years prior to him actually coming to the Jordan River. So 4 or 5 years, Moses obediently followed God and served God. Why? Because he'd been refreshed enough in his life to know that being outside of the comfort zone, being outside of that, you understand. I heard a preacher tell it to me like this one time. He said, you are better off being in the worst hospital in a third world country in the will of God than in a 3-bedroom house up in the valley outside of the will of God tonight. Yeah. But we're so afraid to get out of that comfort zone that we'll never do it tonight. It's rewarding. It's refreshing. You'll find number 3, reassurance. You'll find reassurance. I love this next part of verse number 7. Not only are they his people tonight, but first of all, look what he says. He says, I've heard their cry. Aren't you glad that God still hears our prayers tonight? We talked about this last night. Jeremiah said, call unto me and I will answer thee. I'm glad that God is able to hear our cry tonight. But don't miss this next part. He says, I know their sorrows. What a reassuring thought tonight that we have a God that not only cares, but we got a God that knows tonight. Listen to me, you might come to me, you might come to your pastor and say, God, or pastor, I'm going through this, or preacher, I'm going through that, or I'm struggling with this, and we can cry with you, we can pray for you, we can try to be there with you and try to carry that burden with you, but there's only so much we can do. But I'm glad to report to you tonight that any given time we can walk boldly to that throne of grace and meet with the God of heaven, and he can sit and look at you and say, I know. You mean he knows what it's like to have someone walk out on you? Absolutely. You mean he knows what it's like to have somebody hate him? Absolutely. You mean he knows what it's like to suffer physically? He knows. You mean he knows what it's like to suffer mentally? He knows tonight. You know, you mean he knows what it's like to go through all these things? Absolutely he does. It says he suffered at all points like as we are, yet without sin. It means he suffered with it all tonight. That means when he comes to help, he can help. Look at verse number 8. I am come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians and bring them up unto that land, a good land and a large land, unto a land flowing with milk and honey. Reassurance tonight. You understand Canaan's land, I'm going to mess up one of y'all's songs. Canaan's land ain't heaven tonight.
Right.
If you're not living in Canaan's land right now, that's your fault.
Yeah.
They still had giants. There was still sin. There were still failures. Canaan's land is a picture of living the spirit-filled life tonight.
Yeah.
If you're not living there tonight, why? You reckon it's because you're still in your comfort zone? Refusing to get out of it? You see, you'll find reassurance, you'll find refreshing, you'll find a rewarding relationship. Number 4, we got to hurry. You'll find revival. Look what your Bible says there. Verse number 9. Now therefore, behold, the cry of the children of Israel is come unto me, and I've seen the oppression wherewith the Egyptians oppress them. Come now, therefore, I will send thee unto Pharaoh, that thou mayest bring forth my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. What a God. Can I put it on the bottom shelf for tonight? You know what he was telling Moses? He said, you go down and get them, bring them up, we're going to have revival. We know what takes place between here and chapter number 15. They go back and forth, the 10 plagues, and Pharaoh's heart keeps getting harder, and they go back and forth and fight and back and forth and bicker and argue and all these different things. And finally, one time, God finally comes to the end of it, and he says, I'm going to do something, and it's going to take care of all of it. He goes and tells Moses, you kill the lamb, and you put the blood on the lintel on the doorpost, and when I pass over, and when I see the blood, I will pass over you. And that night, they were preserved, and God took care of them, and God redeemed them and made a way. And then God led them up out of that land and across that Red Sea on dry ground and by pillar cloud by day and that pillar of fire by night. By love, what takes place on the other side of the Red Sea? Here's you another verse. You write this down, Exodus chapter number 15. It says, they sang a song unto the Lord. That's the first time you find the word sang in your Bible. The first time they finally lift up their voices. I guarantee you, Brother Philip, they sang the same song we did tonight on that side of the Red Sea. They said, like a bird out of prison that's taken his flight. Thank God I'm free, free, free from this world of sin. Been washed in the blood, been born again. They had revival in their life. That's what we're seeing in a text. Maybe the reason you don't have revival tonight, 9 days into this thing, is because you're still sitting where you were 10 days ago. Just trying to help you tonight. Not trying to offend you. Not trying to make you mad. Just trying to dig a little bit. See, you might find revival. One of the greatest types of revival in the Old Testament here, one of the greatest miracles, one of the greatest moves of God takes place right here. Revival. That's what we want to see tonight. That's what we want to see this week. Every single night, we have stood and we have given an invitation. But who's still holding on to something? We talked about last night not being a hindrance. I pray that that's what we prayed all day, not to be a hindrance to this meeting. What are you going to find when you step out of your comfort zone? You'll find a rewarding relationship. You'll find refreshment. You'll find reassurance. You'll find revival. Listen to me very carefully. You'll find rest. Let's read on down. Verse number 13. And Moses said unto God, behold, when I am come unto the children of Israel, and shall say unto them, the God of your fathers has sent me unto you. They shall say to me, what is his name? What shall I say unto them? And God said unto Moses, I am that I am. And he said, thus thou shalt say unto the children of Israel, I am has sent me unto you. Verse 15, and God said moreover unto Moses, thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, the Lord God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob, has sent me unto you. This is my name forever, and this is my memorial unto all generations. Go and gather the elders of Israel together and say unto them, the Lord God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob, appeared unto me, saying, I have surely visited you and seen that which is done to you in Egypt. And I have said, look very carefully, I will bring you up out of the affliction of Egypt unto the land that floweth with milk and honey tonight. Rest tonight. You'll find revival, then you'll find rest. Moses was asked one thing. Take your shoes off. Get out of your comfort zone. For 400 years they've been in bondage. The comfort zone is a dangerous place to be tonight. When I got saved, I've told you all this. I was messed up doctrinally. I believed a lot of things, and you understand it don't matter what you believe tonight. It matters what's true.
Yes.
God don't care what we believe. And I battled, Brother Caleb, salvation for years. From 2013 to 2017, I went back and forth. God, this can't be right. You'll let me in. I told you all that. When God finally broke me, on the left side of that church, and I understood that I was going to hell, and I got saved, on that altar I made God a promise. I said, God, I've ran for so long. Anything you ever ask me from this point on, I'll do it. I don't care what it is. I don't care why. I don't care where. I'll do it. About a year after that, I started reading my Bible. Read it. I didn't even read the whole thing through. And God, on a June night, said, I want you to preach. Sitting on that old John Deere lawnmower. I began to talk to God, and I said, God, I told you I'd do anything but that. I'll be a good tither. I'll give 20% if you let me make enough. I'll drive that bus every single service. I'll do whatever you want me to do, but don't make me do that, God. I was battling while I was driving the mower. Then I got to the point where I was messing up my line, so I had to even stop doing that. I'm talking about I felt conviction like I was lost again. I said, God, I don't want to do it. God, I can't do it. And he said, I know you can't, but it's what I want you to do.
Yep.
I got off that lawnmower and I laid down in that nasty wet grass. I sit there and said, God, if this is what you want me to do, I'll do it. But I can't tell my wife. She'll be mad at me. We had a vacation scheduled. I wasn't saved that long. We still went to the beach. That whole time at the beach, Brother Charlie, I sat on a balcony reading my Bible. Brittany just kept saying, are you ever going to go do something? That last day at the beach there, we were packing up, and I was just acting funny, I guess. And Brittany was like, will you tell me what's wrong with you? I broke down and cried. I said, honey, we'll never be able to do this again. I said, God's called us to preach. We'll be broke. We'll have to live in a van. We'll never have anything. Thank God for a godly wife. She said, I'll be there with you every step of the way. I started preaching a little bit. And a church out in Alcoa, West Virginia, called me and asked me to come preach for them. On a Sunday morning, I had to work. Couldn't meet the appointment. It broke my heart. I said, God, you called me to preach, not to run a crane. He said, well, why don't you quit your job? Look, I ain't bragging tonight. You got Google, go Google what a union crane operator makes. I had 100% paid insurance, good salary, 7 days off a row every single month. I said, God, I can't do that. He said, that's what I want you to do. So, I quit. Didn't even give them a notice. I quit. They blackballed me. I'll never go back there and work. I can promise you that. I met a man that worked out of the Union Mission homeless shelter. He said, I'll give you a job, 36 hours a week, $12 an hour. I said, all right, I'll take it. We started preaching more and started serving God. First day, came home from work, and my car made this crazy noise. When I shut it off, tried to start it back up, and it wouldn't start. Very first day I ever went to work, done quit my job. I went in, I remember I walked in the house there and I looked at my wife and I said, we're done for, we're going to starve, we're going to have to sell one of the children, we're going to have to eat one of them. I don't know what we're going to do. I'll never forget what she said to me, brother. She said, have you even prayed about it yet? I said, no, I'm too worried to pray. So she prayed. Jason Perlack, he's a missionary, runs a wilderness camp up in Ripley, West Virginia. Also deals as a mechanic on the side. I called him. He came, loaded that thing up, fixed that thing for free. Got me back on the road. We began to preach and began to do more and more. Making $12 an hour. One day, Brother Philip, we looked at the bank account. And we had more money in there than I'd ever seen. And I looked at my wife and I said, we're going to quit that job too. And we're just going to preach. And we started preaching, and one thing led to another, and we ended up at a little church called the Evergreen Hills Baptist Church, preaching to five people. And God said, that's where you're going to go, and that's where you're going to serve, and that's where you're going to live for me. Ain't nothing I've done, church. Understand that ain't nothing I've done. But since that day that we stepped out of their comfort zone, I've watched my babies get saved. I've watched my boys stand up and sing for the glory of God. I've watched my wife do things I never believed God would do. I've watched in our church, I've watched it grow. I've watched people get saved. I've watched marriages be strengthened. I've watched people come back to God and get right with God, not because of anything I've done tonight, I understand that, but because God was willing to use me tonight. All because one day God said, would you do something for me? I said, I'll try. And God said, that's all I need you to do. I'll do the rest. Moses stepped out of his comfort zone in Exodus chapter number 3, verse number 5. He became the lawgiver. Became that prophet of old. Became that preacher that led the nation of Israel. Became that intercessor, that man that would stand in the gap for God's people. What would have happened? What would have happened tonight if Moses would have turned away from that bush and said, I'm too comfortable to do that, God? As we stand to our feet, I want to ask you a question tonight. You've been comfortable all week. What if tonight would be the night that you say, I'm going to step out of that comfort zone. Maybe I'm going to surrender my life to God. Maybe God's been pointing on some things. We're talking about revival. Maybe God's been touching some things that would say, if you'd get that out of your life, I'd change your world. Maybe it's a person. Maybe it's a thing tonight. Might be a job. What are you holding on to? That safety blanket that is stopping you from getting closer to God tonight. You know what would be a great story 10 years from now? I sure am glad on November 13th, 2025, I stepped out of my comfort zone and I gave my life to the Lord. I sure am glad that Thursday night of revival meeting, I stepped out of my comfort zone and began singing for His glory. I sure am glad that on a Thursday afternoon, in front of about 80 people, I said, God's called me to preach, and that's what I'm going to do. What if tonight, we talked about this, one person makes a difference. Who will it be tonight? As he begins to sing, why don't you step out of your comfort zone? Come get on this altar and do business with God. Whatever it is tonight, you know what it is, you come.